right, let's go to chapter 9 of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, last week we were discussing knowing God, and it gives you that, well, if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Really, because we have nothing to boast about. Amen? Outside of Jesus Christ, we don't have anything. So, this week I want us to look at know God and you'll know your purpose. I've had people ask me, I've even said this before in my life, and I've had people come and ask me, what is my purpose in life? I don't feel like I have a purpose in life. You ever been in that bad of shape that you just feel like, you know what? I don't have a purpose in life. I really don't know why I exist. And, you know, it's like, really, that's a selfish attitude, to be honest with you. But a lot of it is because we don't know God the way we should. And if we know Him the way we should, then we'll understand what that purpose is. So with that said, let's go over to 1 John, the book of 1 John, chapter 2. That's way over in the back. New Testament, Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, 1 John. If you find Peter, go back toward Revelation, you'll find 1 John. 1 John is the same guy that wrote the book of John, the gospel. He's also the same guy that wrote the book of Revelation. When you hear the apostles talking about the beloved disciple, that was John. That's who's talking about it. He's the brother of James, son of Zebedee. He was the last apostle to die. He was the only one, by the way, that wasn't martyred. He died of natural causes. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Now, that's a blessing right there. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus. And He said, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, we'll stay there for a few minutes, because I still want to read a little more in there. But believers, this is what this whole lesson that I've been studying is growing in the Lord, is knowing God. I mean, not just knowing of God, but knowing Him. And in order for us to do that, we've got to build a relationship with God. And in order for us to do that, we cannot just, as Paul said, you can't just be a baby in Christ and walk around and suck your thumb and are a pacifier. And then when you need a little bit of something, suck on the bottle. You know, I've said this before. A lot of people use God like a spare tire just when they need it. You know, you only put your spare on when it's flat. You put your spare on when your good one went flat. And you're like, well, now what I do? Oh, we drag God out. And that's immaturity. And we don't want to run around. Little Jessica back there, She's what? Almost two. She's 20 months old. Now, 10 years from now, she needs to know a lot about God. Or 10 years from now, she can still be like she is now. In 10 years, she'll be right at 12 years old. She won't be a little bitty tiny thing. She won't be back there going, da, 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 da. Which doesn't bother me. But spiritually, she can be just like she is right now, 30 years from now. Or spiritually, she can be matured in the Lord and learning things. And the more you do that, listen, the better off you are. Some people are spiritual babes, and they just never mature. They never realize their true purpose in God. They go through their entire life, and they're saved, and they know this one verse. And this is a very important verse, don't get me wrong. But John is, by the way, is writing. He's not writing to lost people. He's writing to saved people. This whole book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John is written to people that are saved. This actually is written to the church. And so this is the main thing they know. He says, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you. Listen, they know their sins are forgiven, but that's all they ever know. They don't know that they can have communion or what would I say, companionship and relationship with God. They don't realize they can have that because they've never went any further. When they get in a bind, they fall apart. Life is just piled up in the middle and they say, God, why are you doing this to me? But if they have a relationship with God, they realize that what's going on is for a purpose. And it's for our purpose in life to grow and mature in the Lord. See, God knows what's around the corner. We don't. And neither do I want to know. But God knows what's over the next hill. He knows what's around the next curve. And the things that He puts me through right now is preparing me for what's coming. And if I'll look at it and say, okay, God, I ain't liking what's happening right now. Okay? We can be humans about it. We can say, hey, I'm not really caring for my situation, God. You know, I guarantee you Philip was not thrilled to death spending the days in the hospital up there with his son, wondering what the blood tests were going to bring back. You know, and I don't know this because he didn't tell me, but I would say that it run through his mind, God, what you doing here? Hello, we need some prayers answered. But the proper way to look at that, and like I said, I ain't talked to him. The proper way to look at that is to say, God, I don't like what's happening. I don't even understand why it's happening. But I know you're in control, and help me to see what I need to see from it. Open my eyes to what I need to see. And that, really, that's the way we need to look at our every circumstance. When there's a death in the family of a close loved one, instead of getting mad at God about it, we need to, you know, just be honest. It's okay to be honest with God because, by the way, He knows what's on your heart anyway. You know, I can tell Miss Betty, well, Miss Betty, I'm all right. Everything's fine. I'm going to learn from it. But deep inside, I'm like, I'm angry. You know, it's okay to let God know, God, I am not happy with what you've done here. I don't know why you've done this, but here's the right attitude. But help me to cope with it. Help me to overcome. And help me to see what I need to learn from my situation. That's really the best way to look at it. You know, when the Lord first called me into the ministry, I wouldn't do it. I said, nope. He let me know that, yeah, it took me a while. I'm hard-headed. But when I really surrendered to Him and said, okay, this is what I'll do. Then Satan jumped in and said, yeah, but just look at all the years you wasted. Hey, you knew 10 years ago, Jim, that this is what God wants you to do. Now look at the 10 years that you've just threw away. And man, I got depressed. And I'm like, what a waste I've been. What I should have done, been doing this for God. I should have already had this done for God. And then an old guy told me, an old preacher, he said, listen, he said, you're dwelling on spilt milk. He said, there's two ways to look at it. He said, for one, it's gone. He said, you ain't going to bring it back. He said, now get out there and start serving God. He said, number two, he said, look back at it and see what kind of schooling you got from God. He said, all the things that you went through that 10 years that you run from God, he said, how can you use it to further the kingdom now? I said, oh, I didn't see it that way. It was like, hell, Satan, I got you again. You know, why? Because I've overcome. That's what he tells us here. He said, we've overcome. How can we overcome Satan? How can we even think like God thinks? Because guess what? We have the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us that. I believe. Do you believe what the Bible tells you? Sure you do. Hang on to John, but run right over to 1 Corinthians chapter, I want to say chapter 1. Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. No, chapter 2. He says right at the end of it, he said, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? He said, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Listen, if we've got Christ living within us and can overcome these things, if we build that relationship, then we know what God's wanting to do. We know what His plans are. Just like I was talking to you about Enoch this morning. The reason that Enoch knew what was coming is God revealed it to him. God will do the same thing for us. That's what, you know, I can look at, I study and I pray and I'm like, Lord, you need to turn this country around. We need to get back on fire for you. Now, I'm just going to be up front with you. This country ain't going to turn around. Because the Bible says it ain't. Now, I'm not going to tell you we can't slow things up, because Christians can. We can make a difference. You know, God says, I'm going to kill them all, Moses. And Moses said, whoa, wait a minute. Lord, what's folk going to think? You know, come on. That's paraphrase, but that's really what he told God. He said, hey, God, he said, what you want people to think about you? You drug them out here and now you're going to kill them? You know, that don't make sense. God says, okay, I'll back off. Well, guess what? They still went into captivity years later down the road. It never really got a whole lot better, but it just got slower getting there. We can do that. We can see revival in this country again. We can see lots of souls saved. You know, we see the, we can, well, we preachers do. We read about D.L. Moody and the big revivals and how that hundreds got saved. I've seen pictures in Kentucky of 150, 200 people lined up on the bank of the river and one old guy out there baptizing one after the other because they got saved. You know, we can see that again, but that don't mean that the country's going to turn back and do everything the way it's supposed to do it, because it's going downhill. My dad, I forgot who told him, or maybe he read it, some news guy. Hannity, Sean Hannity, said on the news the other day, he said, listen, he said, our country is so far gone to the left, he said, we can't ever come back to what it was. It ain't never, our country will never be what it was when Sister Betty was a young lady. Ain't going to be there. People feared God back then. They don't no more. And they're going to continue to lose that fear because of the way they don't want a relationship with God. Listen, when you get a close relationship with God, sometimes it's like you want the relationship with God, but they tend to tell you you know, God lays it on your heart. Well, that's wrong. Well, Lord, well, yeah, and that ain't the way to act. Oh, but I want to hit him. But no, that ain't the way to act. But I want to tell this person what I think. Well, yeah, but you shouldn't. You know, the more you get, the closer you get with God, the more your eyes start opening up that, listen, that's not necessary. This is not what you need to do. You know, what you need to do is leave that communication line open with that person so that one day you may lead them to the Lord. You know, that's the whole goal of it anyway, amen? Isn't that the right thing? So, you know, we need to get to that point in our life where we're not spiritual babes. I met people that are 70 years old and don't know no more about God than the day they got saved when they were 10. They know that He died on the cross for their sins and, hey, I'm going to heaven. Well, bless your heart. That's good. But that isn't where it all stops. You know, they can't drive through a parking lot like Miss Betty and say, Lord, I need a parking place up close. And get one. really. They can't do that because they don't have that relationship. They can't have that peace that, you know, I never remember my grandmother on my mom's side or my grandfather ever being really upset about anything. They may have been, but I don't ever remember. I remember her singing, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. She played it on her guitar and sang that song. I didn't hear her now singing in that little high voice she had. You know, but I never heard her complain. And she didn't have all the fancies of like we have. She just had a plain Jane little farmhouse and a little smokehouse out back and chickens and the hogs. And, you know, they didn't even have a phone for years. And when they did have a phone, you pick it up and Sally Mae's on there gossiping with Betty Lou about stuff they ought not to be. You know, and you got to wait before you can call. That's called a party line, kids. You know? Yeah, everybody knew. Seriously, everybody knew what everybody was talking about. Kind of like Facebook. See, they even had Facebook back then. We think we're new. Having Facebook now is something new. It's not. They had it back then. They just didn't call it Facebook. They called it party line. I'm going to get some coffee, Aunt May. You want me to pick you up anything in town? And Aunt May would say, well, yeah, but did you hear about Sally? You know what she's been doing. Well, everybody else knows now because they were listening. You know, and if you wanted to know anything, you'd call the operator. She could tell you. And by the way, she was in your hometown, not in India. You know? That's been a long time ago. It's sad that I remember that, though, man. That's. But we need to grow in the Lord. We really do. Ever learning. You see, children, just like little Jessica, she'll grow up to be a little young girl, and then she'll be a little young teenager, and then she'll be a young lady one day, and then she'll be a middle-aged as she goes. We need to do the same thing spiritually. We don't need to get to this part, to the adolescent years, and stop. You know, it took me 30 years to get out of them. And we don't need to get to that point and just stop as spiritually. We need to continue to grow. And if you ever meet somebody that said, well, I've mastered the Bible, no, get away from them. Because they don't know nothing. You ever stop learning in the Word of God? I had a guy one time I was talking to, and I said, you know, I'm afraid. I said, at one time I was afraid when I was reading Scripture, you're going to run out of stuff to preach. And he just looked at me and laughed, and he said, yeah, what did you figure out? I said, you can preach on the same verse. Just over and over and over, there's always something new. God will reveal, the more you read and study and the closer you get to God, every verse you read, it'll start opening up something you didn't see last time. You know, it will. There's things that'll just start coming up, and it's like, well, that wasn't in there last time. Well, yeah, it was. You just wasn't ready for it. You know, and that's the way God works with us. The closer we get to Him, the more He reveals to us. We need to learn God's truth, really and truly, to see it through our lives. Man, I can back up now and I can look at things the way God worked in my life and it's like, wow. But at that time, I really didn't see Him working in my life. I was sitting there thinking, hey, God, where you at? But He had it all orchestrated. I mean, it was all going perfectly just like He wanted it. And then I'd usually mess it up somewhere along the line that I could see He straightened it out for me. Got me back. That's what we need to do. Look what he says, verse 14 of 1 John chapter 2. He said, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And then he tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's not the beauty that we see. Go up in the mountains and the streams and the lakes. And it's not that. He's talking about the world order. You don't want to love the things they're doing. It might appeal to your flesh, but you don't want to love what they're doing. And we can overcome that because of Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about it. You move in your life from knowing about God to knowing Him personally. That's the most important part. We need to know Him personally. The more we learn of God, the more we'll understand what God's doing in our life and what our purpose is. He tells us, listen, He's got a lot of work to do with us. The song, I forget who sings it, I'm a work in progress. Listen, that's what we are. When from the day we get saved till the day we die, God's working in our life, and He will continue to do so until we either up and die or Jesus calls us home. You know, boy, that'll be a special one. Next time we'll pick up about knowing God and knowing His power. Boy, that's a good. When I look back and I see the power of God in my life, it's like, wow. Let's all stand. Sister Judy, if you'll come up and play a song for us, we'll have an invitation tonight.